Chapter 4, verse 15. before they're getting money, they can satisfy their senses. But when they are frustrated, they want spiritual Brahmananda or merging into the Supreme. These four principles of material life, religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation exist. And Lord Shiva is the friend of both the ordinary man and the man who is elevated in spiritual knowledge. Thus, it is not good for Daksha to create enmity towards him. Even Vaishnavas who are above both the ordinary and elevated man of the world also worship Lord Shiva as the greatest Vaishnava. Thus, he is the friend of everyone, common and elevated man and the devotees of the Lord. So no one should disrespect or create enmity toward Lord Shiva. 16. Do you think that greater, more respectable personalities than you, such as Lord Brahma, do not know this inauspicious person who goes under the name of Lord Shiva? He associates with the demons in the crematorium, his locks of hair scattered all over his body, his garland with human skulls, and smears ashes from the crematorium. But in spite of all these inauspicious qualities, great personalities like Brahma honor him by accepting the flowers offered to his lotus feet, placing them with great respect on their heads. Purport is useless to claim a great personality like Lord Shiva, and this is being stated by his wife Sati to establish the supremacy of her husband. First she said, you call Lord Shiva inauspicious because he associates with demons and crematoriums, covers his body with the ashes of the dead, and gardens himself with the skulls of human beings. He has shown so many defects, but he does not show that his position is always transcendental. Although he appears inauspicious, why do personalities like Brahma respect the dust from his lotus feet and place on their heads and respect those very gardens which are condemned by you? Since Sati was a chaste woman and the wife of Lord Shiva, was the duty to establish the elevated position of Lord Shiva, not only by sentiment, but by facts. Lord Shiva is not an ordinary living entity. This is the conclusion of Vedic scripture. He is neither on the level of the Supreme Personality of Godhead nor on the level of ordinary living entities. Brahma is in almost all cases an ordinary living entity. Sometimes when there is no ordinary living entity available, the post of Brahma is occupied by an expansion of Lord Vishnu, but generally this post is occupied by a great saint and pious living entity within the universe. Thus, Lord Shiva's position is constitutionally higher than that of Lord Brahma, although Lord Shiva appeared as the son of Brahma. Here it is mentioned that even personalities like Brahma accept the so-called inauspicious flowers and dust of lotus feet of Lord Shiva. Great sages like Marichia, Kripuru, and others, some of the nine great sages who are descendants of Brahma, also respect Lord Shiva in such a way because they all know that Lord Shiva is not an ordinary living entity. In many Puranas, he sometimes asserted that the demigod is elevated to such a high position that he is almost on an equal level with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the conclusion that Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of God is confirmed in every scripture. Lord Shiva is described in the Brahma Sangita to be like curd or yogurt. Curd is like a milk. Since milk is transformed into curd, in one sense, curd is also milk. Similarly, Lord Shiva is in one sense the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in another sense, he is not, just as curd is milk, although we have to distinguish between the two. These descriptions are in the literature. Whenever we find that a demigod occupies a position inherently more elevated than that of the Supreme Personality of God, it is just to draw the devotee's attention to that particular demigod. As also said in Bhagavad Gita, that if one wants to worship a particular demigod, the Supreme Personality of God, who is sitting in everyone's heart, gives one greater and greater attachment for the demigod so that one may be elevated to the demigod's abode. By worshipping demigods, one can elevate himself to the abodes of demigods. Similarly, by worshipping the Supreme Personality of God, one can elevate his spiritual kingdom. This is stated in different places in Vedic literature. Here, Lord Shiva is praised by Sati partially due to her personal respect for Lord Shiva, since he is her husband, and partially due to his exalted position, which exceeds that of ordinary living entities in the Lord Brahma. The position of Lord Shiva is accepted by Brahma, so Daksha, Sati's father, should also recognize him. That is the point of Sati's statement. She did not actually come to her father's house to participate in the function, although before coming she pleaded with her husband that she wanted to see her sisters and her mother. That was a plea only, for actually her heart she maintained the idea she would convince her father, Daksha, that it was useless to continue being envious of Lord Shiva. That was her main purpose. When she was unable to convince her father, she gave up the body he had given her, as will be seen in the following verses. Kansai, you are envious of Lord Shiva, who is the friend of all living entities within the three worlds, for the common man who fulfilled all desires. And because of their engagement and thinking with lotus feet, he also blesses higher personalities who are seeking after Brahmananda. So Sati continues to describe the position of Lord Shiva, of course, his name means auspicious. So that name is fulfilled in different ways. One, he fulfills the desires of people who want material things. That is, on the material level. And he does that very easily, very quickly. And the other way he is auspicious is that he responds to people who want liberation. And here it says Brahma Rasa, Asava, those who want the nectar of Brahman. So he is worshipped for liberation. And so two things, one is material benedictions and then liberation. This puts them in a little higher position than the devatas like Indra. They do not give liberation at all. Because they are not liberated. And even Lord Brahma is usually in that position of not being liberated. So they can elevate a person to a particular planet in the material world, from Svargaloka to Brahmaloka, if one worships them. That is the limit. So Shiva can do all of that. He can give material benedictions all the way up to Brahmaloka, but he also gives Brahman liberation. So he is in a special category, greater than the devatas. For that reason, the next verse shows that even Brahma offers respects to Lord Shiva. So we have all the devatas. At the head of the devatas is Lord Brahma in the highest planet. And above Brahma we have Shiva. So Shiva is worshipped by all the devatas and by Lord Brahma. His position is higher. This, of course, is also prescribed in the Brahma Samhita in terms of lokas. We have the Devi Dham at the bottom, the material world. Then we have Mahesh Dham above that. And then we have Hari Dham above that. So in terms of superiority, Vishnu's at the top, Shiva's next, and then Durga Devi and all the devatas and material energies underneath that. So Shiva has a rather exalted position compared to devatas. Even though we call him a devata, he's also in a very special position because also he is non-different from Vishnu. So that is also stated in Brahma Samhita, where the example of milk and yogurt is given. So milk and yogurt we know are different because they taste different and they have different effects in the body. At the same time, we also know that they are the same because the yogurt comes from the milk. The milk does not come from the yogurt. You cannot change yogurt into milk. But you can change milk into yogurt. And so Vishnu is compared to the milk and Shiva to the yogurt. So in one sense, they are the same. They're both milk products. So therefore, Shiva is like Vishnu. At the same time, he is secondary, just as the yogurt is secondary to the milk. And we cannot change Shiva into Vishnu. Vishnu changes to Shiva, Shiva does not change to Vishnu. So Vishnu has, that shows that Vishnu has greater powers. So though Shiva is supreme, Lord in one sense, still he is subordinate to Vishnu. That is the position of Lord Shiva. Therefore, the devatas and the human beings should give proper respect to Lord Shiva, more than they give to the devatas, because he is in a very high position. Of course, we should also understand that though he is respectable, higher respect must be given to Vishnu, because he's in even a higher position. Even if we say that they're both supreme, they're both Ishvara, still Vishnu has higher manifestation qualities significantly. Therefore, we put him in a special position. So even in the scriptures, distinction is made between Shiva and Vishnu, and the most prominent worship is given to Vishnu as being completely manifesting all the qualities. So anyway, the Sati is saying here that the sages and Daksha should not neglect Lord Shiva and his position. Though she also understands that there's an appearance of difference. Shiva does not look like he is Supreme Lord because of all of his actions, such as smearing ashes on his body and wearing skulls around his neck. So, because of these activities, people may criticize, but she says this is actually not the fact. He actually is in a very, very special position, which should be known by everybody. So, therefore, she speaks the truth. And as we saw by Lord Shiva's conduct, he was not affected by the insults of Daksha. He was completely under control, though he is known to be angry and to be very destructive. We see here, and actually he was very, very calm in that situation, did not show hatred. So he was in a very special position by his conduct as well, in spite of the fact that Daksha was just the opposite of his conduct. So, Sati is here arguing that Daksha should recognize the exalted nature of Lord Shiva and not confuse him with ordinary living entities. This, of course, points out that it is, it may be very easy to fall into confusion and make this mistake. That's just Daksha did it. People of this material world may also make a mistake and criticize Lord Shiva. So therefore, one has to be careful of such a mistake. We should not rashly come to some conclusion based upon Shiva's apparently tamasic conduct. We have to be very, very careful. We do see, on the other hand, that many people, do not criticize Lord Shiva for this, and they worship him with great devotion. So many people are attracted to the worship of Lord Shiva as well. And so some may criticize, on the other hand, some other people will, with great devotion, worship Lord Shiva. Now, the only problem there is if one worships Lord Shiva as independent from Vishnu. And therefore the Brahma Samhita points out that he is like yogurt in relation to milk. For in terms of Dhammas, Mahesh Dham is inferior to Hari Dham. So we should never think that he's got more power than Vishnu. So that also we should never do. Huh? So that may be a problem with some of the worshippers of Lord Shiva. they get confused and they think he is supreme and Vishnu and others are less than him. So the correct scriptural identification is that Vishnu is supreme and Shiva is an expansion manifesting less properly. So we have to understand that also. So if one respects Lord Shiva properly, we understand he's greater than a Shiva, but he is less than Vishnu. That is the proper position. So the Bhagavatam at the end concludes that he is the best of Vaishnavas. That means that he is a worshipper of Vishnu. Though he's an expansion of Vishnu, he understands his position is less than that of Vishnu. So that we also should understand very, very clearly. That is a problem. That is why Narada Muni criticized Veda Vyas for writing all the different Puranas. Because it's by writing these Puranas and encouraging people on the lower level to worship all the Devatas and to worship Lord Shiva and Brahma, etc. The purpose will not be served. The purpose, of course, is to encourage people to act according to their qualification, gradually become purified, and then come to a higher level. But he said, this is not going to happen. The people of Kali Yuga are so fallen that once they take to one type of worship, they will not give that up and progress upwards. They will get stuck in one level, and they will not progress. So therefore, Narada Muni advised Veda Vyasa that all of this, these Puranas you've written are useless. Instead, you should simply point out that everyone should worship Krishna. So therefore, he wrote, Vyasadeva wrote Srimad Bhagavatam to point out Krishna as the only object of worship in Kali Yuga.
They should not do that.
In the modern world, of course, nothing is nobody follows scripture anyway. So, what can we say? Of course, examples are given also of exceptional cases where one can, for instance, the absolute rule is that father is not a father or a mother or a whatever if they cannot deliver the child from birth and death, and similarly husband or wife, if they cannot deliver the partner from birth and death, then they're not actually in that relationship. So on the highest level, it is possible to reject if ultimately the person discourages worship of the Supreme Lord, then they can be rejected on that ground. Even so, in many cases we see that does not happen. For instance, the wives of Kaliya had a demon husband, but they were devotees. But they didn't reject him. So they were still there. And the wives of the Brahmanas have bad husbands who didn't want to worship Krishna and Balaram and give them any food. And the wives that had devotion, still they did not reject their husbands. Still kept that. Of course, the husbands improved that, and also Kali also improved finally by the mercy of Krishna. So we see examples like that where they kept the bond, and then ultimately husband improved. Well, as I said, we see cases where they didn't. Many cases where they didn't. Huh? Though it is possible in some cases, maybe extreme cases, that it is possible. And even in the, we'll find constitutionally or whatever, if there's threat to life or something, then you can leave the person, obviously. Threat to kill you or something, you can leave. If the husband cannot do his duties properly at all, then what is the use of staying?
Nirantara Sri Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, 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 Jai Gaur Pramanam ki jai.
Thank you. ஓட்டியே இல்லாத